భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 3 టైటిల్డ్ స్టేటస్ కో చాప్టర్ 20 కన్వర్సేషన్ బిట్వీన్ మైత్రేయ అండ్ విదుర టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 4. కిం అన్వప్రచ్ఛన్ మైత్రేయం విరాజస్తీర్థసేవయా ఉపగమ్య కుశావార్త ఆసీనం తత్వవిత్తమం. కిం అన్వప్రచ్ఛన్ మైత్రేయం విరాజస్తీర్థసేవయా ఉపగమ్య కుశావార్త ఆసీనం తత్వవిత్తమం. కిం అన్వప్రచ్ఛన్ మైత్రేయం విరాజస్తీర్థసేవయా ఉపగమ్య కుశావార్త ఆసీనం తత్వవిత్తమం. కిం
What?
Anvaprachan. Inquired. Maitreyam. From the sage Maitreya. Virajaha. Vidura. Who was without material contamination. Tirtha Sevaya. By visiting sacred places. Upagamya. Having met. కుశావార్తే ఎట్ కుశావార్త హరిద్వార్ ఓ హాద్వార్ ఆసీనం హూ వాస్ అబైడింగ్ తత్వవిత్తమం ద ఫార్మోస్ట్ నోవర్ ఆఫ్ ద సైన్స్ ఆఫ్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Vidura was purified of all passion by wandering in sacred places, and at last he reached Haridwar, where he met the great sage who knew the science of spiritual life, and he inquired from him. Shaunaka Rishi therefore asked, what more did Vidura inquire from Maitreya? Translation responsively. Vidura was purified of all passion by wandering in sacred places, and at last he reached Haridwar, where he met the great sage who knew the science of spiritual life, and he inquired from him. Shaunaka Rishi therefore asked, what more did Vidura inquire from Maitreya? Purport. Here the words Virajas Tirtha Sevaya refer to Vidura, who was completely cleansed of all contamination by travelling to places of pilgrimage. In India, there are hundreds of sacred places of pilgrimage, of which Prayag, Haridwar, Vrindavan and Rameshwaram are considered principal. After leaving his home, which was full of politics and diplomacy, Vidura wanted to purify himself by travelling to all the sacred places, which are so situated that anyone who goes there automatically becomes purified. This is especially true in Vrindavan. Any person may go there, and even if he is sinful, he will at once contact an atmosphere of spiritual life and will automatically chant the names of Krishna and Radha. That we have actually seen and experienced. It is recommended in the Shastras that after retiring from active life and accepting the Vanaprastha retired order, one should travel everywhere to places of pilgrimage in order to purify himself. Vidura completely discharged this duty, and at last he reached Kushavarta or Haridwar, where the sage Maitreya was sitting. Another significant point is that one must go to sacred places not only to take bath there, but to search out great sages like Maitreya and take instructions from them. If one does not do so, his traveling to places of pilgrimage is simply a waste of time. Narottam Das Thakur, a great acharya of the Vaishnava sect, has, for the present, forbidden us to go to such places of pilgrimage, because in this age, the times having so changed, a sincere person may have a different impression on seeing the behavior of the present residents of the pilgrimage sites. He has recommended that instead of taking the trouble to travel to such places, one should concentrate his mind on Govinda, and that will help him. Of course, to concentrate one's mind on Govinda in any place is a path meant for those who are most spiritually advanced. It is not for ordinary persons. Ordinary persons may still derive benefit from traveling to holy places like Prayag, Mathura, Vrindavan and Haridwar. It is recommended in this verse that one find a person who knows the signs of God or a Tattvavid. Tattvavid means one who knows the absolute truth. There are many pseudo-transcendentalists, even at places of pilgrimage. Such men are always present, and one has to be intelligent enough to find the actual person to be consulted. Then one's attempt to progress by traveling to different holy places will be successful. One has to be freed from all contamination, and at the same time, he has to find a person who knows the signs of Krishna. Krishna helps a sincere person. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Guru Krishna Prasade, by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, one attains the path of salvation, devotional service. If one sincerely searches for spiritual salvation, then Krishna, being situated in everyone's heart, gives him the intelligence to find a suitable spiritual master. By the grace of a spiritual master, like Maitreya, one gets the proper instruction and advances in his spiritual life. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistana Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadanti. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation once again. Vidura was purified of all passion by wandering in sacred places, and at last he reached Haridwar, where he met the great sage who knew the signs of spiritual life, and he inquired from him. Shonaka Rishi therefore asked, what more did Vidura inquire from Maitreya? Hare Krishna. So, this Amala Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, is at a point where it brings us back to the focus of Vidura and Maitreya having this long conversation. It started way back in early in Canto 3. This long conversation goes on till the end of Canto 4. And it's like an interlude before it opens up to another wonderful pastime of the appearance of Lord Kapila. And we have just witnessed the wonderful pastime of the first incarnation of the Lord in the form of Lord Varaha. in the context of what we want to discuss today, in the theme of divine versus demoniac, I thought it'll be good to just quickly recap on what happened in the past few, 4 or 5 chapters for the pastimes of Lord Varaha, and then we link it to what we're talking about today. So we know that in the past few chapters, the sons of Lord Brahma, the 4 Kumaras, they were traveling all over spiritual world, material world, okay, oblivious to the surroundings, okay, fully realized souls. And they went to through the 6 gates of Vaikuntha. They came to the 7th gate, and what happened there? They were blocked by 2 gatekeepers called Jai and Vijay. Okay? And as soon as they were blocked, the 4 Kumaras got angry. And they got angry, they said, how come this is like almost a spiritual world? Because they haven't entered Vaikuntha yet, 7th gate. And how can there be this kind of duality where you're blocking us? You must be imposters. Okay? There shouldn't be any envy or disharmony in the spiritual world. And therefore the Brahmas cursed Jai Vijay. They cursed them to be what? Actually, to fall down to the spiritual world, to the material world. And the gatekeepers, of course, became fearful, being cursed by the Brahmanas. And all they requested for was, even if they fall down, that they never forget Krishna. Okay, and Lord Narayan, the all-knowing Lord of everything that goes around and happens, he, of course, heard about this, and he comes on foot. Okay, without even riding on his carrier, Garuda, he comes on foot. And he comes to where this incident is taking place. And there is this profound, significant conversation now between these 3 parties. Lord Narayan, the gatekeepers, and the Kumaras. And suddenly it takes this profound situation where everybody is very humble, everybody finds fault with how they have behaved, and everybody is seeking forgiveness. Lord Narayan himself is seeking forgiveness from the 4 Kumaras, saying, your curse is fine, what you have done is fine. But they are my servants. So being my servants, I'm responsible. So forgive me, the Lord says. And the 4 Kumaras thinking like, we just cursed 2 gatekeepers, and here it's like the Lord himself is asking for forgiveness. What? Have we done something so beneficial? And they realize it's like, oh Lord, we should be asking for forgiveness for our hasty decision to curse the 2 gatekeepers. And so there's this interchange, and the God, Lord Narayan even says, forgive me, I'm responsible for what they have behaved and how they have behaved. Lop off my arm, take my arm. God saying that. Right? So then finally that incident takes place, the 4 Brahmanas, they circumambulate Lord Narayan, they leave the place, and the Lord then tells Jai Vijay, this is all my arrangement. I've ordained this. You go down to the material world and live 3 demoniac lives. Okay? And therefore they fall. They fall from the spiritual world right down to the material world. And when they fall, they take birth in the womb of Diti as who? The 2 big demons called Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And they start terrorizing the whole material world. They were so powerful. Okay, Hiranyaksha goes all over, he goes to the heavenly planets looking for a fight. He's in lust, anger, greed, wants to fight. Okay. And he goes there and he sees all the demigods are hiding. Nobody there to fight with him. And then he comes down, he dives into the ocean, he goes in search of someone to fight. He comes to Lord Varuna. In Vibhari Shesh, the capital, and he says, give me fight. Okay? Then Lord Varuna says, only Lord Narayan can give you fight. For all your pompous ego and all. And Lord Narayan descends, he comes as Lord Varaha. Okay? Then there's this big fight. And obviously the Lord wins. Okay? And Hiranyakashipu is liberated and the Lord returns to his abode. So, actually I was meditating on this past time and I was like thinking, there are similarities between us and Jai Vijay. We are spirit souls, they are also spirit souls. We were servants in the spiritual sky some time ago. They were also servants. We are eternal, they are eternal. We fell down, they have fallen down. But then I couldn't think of any other more similarities. But when I thought about the differences between us and Jai Vijay, then put in perspective as to who we truly are. See, the fundamental difference is Jai Vijay, they left the spiritual world as servants. And they fell as demons. We left the spiritual world as demons. And we entered the material world and became bigger demons. Yeah. See, the Lord sanctioned their fall down. But do you think the Lord sanctioned our fall down? We misused our minute independence. We wanted to enjoy separate from Krishna. We said, no, the spiritual world is not good enough for me. I want to enjoy like you, God. I want to go. The Lord facilitated, of course, but he didn't sanction our fall down. Okay. And then when we fell, I was thinking further. See, we know that Lord Brahma actually took birth on the lotus flower in Brahma Loka. The lotus flower actually represents the reservoir where all the conditioned living beings are before they actually take birth. They're temporarily just residing there. So if we fell from the spiritual world, the first place that we would have fallen to would have been Brahma Loka. And we would have been like residing in the reservoir of among the conditioned living entities, the lotus flower. Brahma Loka, as we know, is the highest planet, which is closest to the spiritual world. So one would have thought that if we had fallen down, wanting to enjoy separate from Krishna, and having fallen to Brahma Loka, we would have realized that the material world is not actually going to be a good place. And being so close to the spiritual world, we would have had the intelligence to actually go back from that Brahma Loka back to the spiritual world. But instead of going up, which direction did we take? Further down. That ferocious, that strong, our desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. We had that opportunity, yes, we fell. Out of stupidity, out of lack of intelligence, we fell. But still from that high material platform, we couldn't still apply our intelligence. We continued to fall. We've been going through this cycle of birth, death, old age, disease, and it's just been going on and on and on, and we are just degrading. The consciousness is just going down and down and down. When I say we, I'm referring to all the conditioned living entities in the material world. Some of us may not qualify to be classified among these we. Some of us are elevated. But I'm not. Okay. So, but over time, somehow we have done something good. We have come to this platform where we have taken this human birth. We are on this Bhumi Lok. Okay, where this is one of the two places where we can directly go back to the spiritual world. Okay, here Earth planet and Brahma Loka. So we are now situated at a place on a platform which is just opportune for us to come to our realization what we have done in the past and make that turn and go back. See, the Lord, when he descends, he actually brings his associates for enacting his pastimes of either enjoying, he's a supreme enjoyer, or he comes for other reasons to protect the devotees, paritnaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, annihilate the miscreants. And when he comes, he brings his associates. So of course, in Lord Varaha's pastime, Jai Vijay were his associates, his eternal associates. They took birth as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. But in Krishna Leela, he also brings his many associates, and Vidura is one of them. Who was Vidura in his previous life? Yamaraj, okay, one of the 12 Mahajans. So Yamaraj, he left his position and came to take part in Lord Krishna's personal pastimes. Lord Krishna appeared in his swarup. Yamaraj has a very difficult duty to perform. You know, all the sinful people going there to him, he has to pass judgment and give them more misery, or rather liberation in a way, salvation. But he has to pass these very difficult judgments. Do you think he would get a word of thanks? No way. Very difficult. So sometimes he has to take a break. Okay, so he takes a break. So Lord Krishna says, okay, I give you a break. Come follow me. Okay. And in his absence, Aryama took the position of Yamaraj for 100 years. So Yamaraj took birth in the material world as Vidura. Just like how Lord Krishna took birth, manifested in a prison, Yamaraj was actually born as a Dasi Putra. He was born to a maid servant in the palace. But who's his father? Vyasadev, okay, the great compiler of Srimad Bhagavatam himself. So he has taken birth now in palatial surroundings, and he is being given the luxuries that come with royal household life. And as he is like there, he is of course counseling Dhritarashtra. And in the link of the divine versus the demoniac, he's got this wonderful demoniac nephew called Duryodhana. Okay? The worst of offense personified. Okay? So the Pandavas came back from their 13 years of exile, and they wanted to actually reclaim their throne, their kingdom. Okay? They go and ask for their rightful kingdom, and Duryodhana rejects. All because out of lust, anger, greed. Okay? Duryodhana is a perfect personification of lust, anger, and greed. Okay? A demon, basically a demon. Okay? Prabhupada says in chapter 16, verse 21 of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, not Prabhupada says, what's the verse? What's the verse again? 16:21. Atmana. Yeah, Trividam Naragashyadam. Yeah, that's the one. Trividam Naragashyadam. And then he says, we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Text 4. All right. Yeah. And here I'm trying to remember from Bhagavad Gita, verse from Chapter 16 and Text 21. So he says, Trividam Naragashyadam, Dwaram Nashnam, Atmanaha, Kama Krodha Tata Lobas, Tasmat Etat, Trayam Tejat. There are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, greed.
Sorry, bro. So, Canto 3, 20th verse, 20th chapter, 4th verse.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. Are you going to interrupt me anymore?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Where was I?
Three gates
lead to hell. Okay? Every sane person should give this up. Okay? Because it will only lead to the destruction of the soul. Okay? But Duryodhan was perfect. He was absolutely in the three gates of hell. But there are seven gates to Vaikuntha. Which gates are we heading towards? Hell or Vaikuntha? Right? There's something we got to meditate on based on how we are living life today. So Duryodhan then doesn't give a bit of land to the Pandavas, not even a bit of land to drive in a pin. Not that bit. Then Dhritarashtra seeks counsel from Vidura. Vidura says, do the right thing. They've done their bit. The Pandavas have done their bit. They've gone through exile and all that. Do their thing. Give it back to them. Okay. Then, of course, Duryodhan does not agree. And then, again, Vidura counsels Dhritarashtra. He says, Duryodhan, he is offense personified. Don't be attached to him anymore. You do the right thing. You're devoid of all auspiciousness by associating with him. Okay? Renounce your connection with him. But Dhritarashtra's fault is attachment, strong attachment. Okay? Just like us, we are so attached. Okay? Attached to everything around us in this material world. We just can't give up. Similarly, Dhritarashtra could not give up and he just encouraged, he played along with Duryodhan. And what happens now? Duryodhan is so angry that Vidura is actually giving such counsel to Dhritarashtra. Vidura is just attached to Lord Krishna, being a Yamaraj, and he is simply attached to Lord Krishna. He's totally absorbed in remembering Krishna. Even when Krishna came to broker peace, leading up to the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna came and the Kurus, they actually gave Krishna all the opulence. They say, come stay in our palace. He gave Dushyasana's palace, Duryodhan. Come stay there. Well, what did Krishna say? No. I will live with my devotee Vidura. The Lord always reciprocates with his devotees. Okay? And Vidura showed this love for Krishna by being totally absorbed in remembering the Lord. Then Duryodhan, being so offended, he abuses Vidura. What does he say? You son of a kept mistress, Dasi Putra. Okay. Who are you to actually give counsel? He gives instruction. Throw him out of this palace, leaving him with just his breath. Now, here again, the devotee of the Lord, Vidura, he sees Lord's energy at work. Mahamaya and Yogamaya. On one hand, Mahamaya is actually working on Duryodhan by keeping him entrapped in the illusory energy. Mahamaya's role is to deprive one of the opportunities to do devotional service. At the same time, Vidura also saw Krishna's mercy on him by allowing Yogamaya to actually take effect on him. Yogamaya's duty is actually to attract us to Krishna. So, being the devotee that he is, he then does the rightful thing of leaving the palace. He leaves the palace and then what does he do? He starts this long, long, long pilgrimage. As it says here, wandering in sacred places. Okay. So he goes on all these places of pilgrimage, places like Ayodhya, Mathura, Vrindavan, Prayag. At Prabhaschetra, he hears that Lord Krishna has left. The Yadus have been annihilated, fratricidal war is taking place. And then, as this verse today in Prabhupada's purport, he also has another important thing happening during his pilgrimage. In addition to visiting the places of pilgrimage, he is associating with the saintly persons at these places of pilgrimage. Who is he associating with? He meets Uddhava. Where? Near Vrindavan, near the banks of Yamuna. He meets Uddhava, and there is this beautiful exchange of Krishna Katha, remembering the Lord. Okay, and then there is deep ecstasy being displayed by Uddhava, and Vidura also displays his emotions, knowing that the Lord, before departing, remembered him. Then Uddhava advises Vidura, you go and hear more about all this from Maitreya Muni. Because Maitreya Muni is actually very, very old, very, very realized too. Because who were the last two exalted personalities to take darshan of the Lord before the Lord left the material world? Uddhava and Maitreya Muni. Okay. On the banks of in Prabhas Chetra, the banks of the Yamuna, where the Lord was seated under a young banyan tree, and Uddhava and Maitreya Muni appeared there, and the Lord gave so many confidential information. Maitreya Muni was a Jnana Mishra Bhakta at that time, but then he actually got transformed into a pure Bhakta, fully realized. And he was seated at Haridwar, and that is where now Vidura joins up. Okay. So, we're talking about going to pilgrimage. The main reason why we go on pilgrimage is to purify our senses. Sorry, purify our consciousness, not purify our senses. And here, Vidura was purified of all passion. Of all passion by wandering in sacred places. How can an exalted personality like Vidura actually have passion? Remember, he was living in the palace with personalities who were demoniac. And what do demoniac people have? Passion. Lots of passion. Everything that we see around us today is all about being in passion. The whole imbalance that we see in our lives is because of passion. There is this inner tug of war happening in us, even as us trying to be devotees or devotees. Every day there is this fight within us between the modes. One time we try to be in the mode of goodness, another time we're in the mode of passion, most of the time in the mode of ignorance. Okay? There's this fierce battle going on within us. Everything around us is passion, passion, passion. Accumulate wealth, accumulate this, accumulate that. Lord over material nature. Exploit, exploit, exploit. And people talk about world peace. How can there be world peace when the whole world is in a mode of passion? World peace can only come when Sankirtan Yajna spreads. Krishna consciousness is the solution for world peace. So, when we go on pilgrimage, actually again I just share my realization of when we start our pilgrimage. There are three stages that I go through. Before I start my pilgrimage, during the pilgrimage, and after the pilgrimage. Hands up, all those who have gone to these holy dhams, Mayapur, Vrindavan, Puri, or whatever, wherever. Many. Okay, quite a few haven't gone too, or maybe they're shy to put up their hand. Okay. See, when I was working, and when a trip is organized, fixed, I bought my ticket to go to some holy dham, Vrindavan, Mayapur. Immediately there is a sense of excitement which overcomes us. Wouldn't you agree?
We feel, wow, all right, date fixed, we're going to go. Okay. And then at workplace, before booking our trip to go to the Holy Dham, work was all consuming. It's like we couldn't leave work. It's like there's a mountain of work. Oh, the company cannot survive without me. My workplace, my boss cannot survive without me. I have to be here to do my work. But the moment you fix your date to go to your Holy Dham, suddenly it's like, this can wait, that can wait, that can wait. I'll come back and deal with it. Okay, I'm going. I'm just going. Don't you agree? We suddenly develop this consciousness where we actually build this excitement to want to move to the mode of goodness. There is a deliberate conscious effort in our mindset in preparation for this pilgrimage to actually move from the modes of ignorance and passion towards mode of goodness. Sattva-gun. Okay, and as the days get closer and closer to our travel date, okay, we're making our list, okay, what we want to do, we're meditating. We start to think about the Lord even more. We meditate on the Holy Dham that we want to go to, what we are planning to do over there when we reach there, what parikrams we want to do and all that. Okay. So this is attracting us. Just the mere thought of wanting to go on pilgrimage. Everything else suddenly becomes secondary. Then we actually land at the Holy Dham. Suddenly we are overcome by all humility. Okay? We want to be as humble or more humble than the straw on the street when we are in the Holy Dham. Okay? The first thing we do when we reach the Holy Dham is we pay obeisances to the land that we step on. Okay, we pay obeisances, we thank the Lord for actually giving us the permission, and thank Radharani for giving us the permission to enter the Holy Dham. Okay. Humility takes a new level, a new low level. And that's sincere. We actually don't pretend our humility. We actually try to be sincerely humble in the Holy Dham. Okay. Every sannyasi we see, we pay obeisances. Paying obeisances becomes our favorite pastime there. Take a humble position. Okay. We make a conscious effort to associate with the saintly people over there. We attend as many classes as we can. We make a conscious effort to want to go and do service over there. The temple or whatever. We ask for service. I'm not sure you all do, but I do. And when we get the service, like, it's an exhilarating feeling. It's like, wow, I'm going to do service in the Holy Dham. It's suddenly a connection that we feel with Krishna. That's why Prabhupada says here, at once we come in contact with an atmosphere of spiritual energy, and our spiritual life will automatically make us chant the names of Krishna and Radha. That's the power of the Holy Dham. We associate, we take prasad, we generously give donation. Whoever that we see, we happily give donation. Here for the Melbourne Kitchen Project, we're struggling to get donation. So the consciousness is so different. That is why Prabhupada says here, it is encouraged. Narottam Das Thakur says, no, don't go. But Prabhupada says, no. For elevated people, yeah, they need not go. But for ordinary people like us, it is best to go because we need that atmosphere. Okay, we need that atmosphere to actually inoculate us from Maya, from the illusory energy. Then comes the third stage where you got to leave Dham. Get this intense feeling of separation developing. Don't you? Feel sad. You're going to leave the Holy Dham. Lord has been so merciful. You've gone parikram. You've taken, you've stepped on the soil. Okay? You've rolled around on the holy soil. Okay. How many of you have been to Ramanrati, Vrindavan? You know the place where there's very soft sand, very, very soft sand near Utkal Bandhan? You all rolled around there? Yeah? See, we all do that. To connect with how the Lord's pastimes were when he was young. Then the moment comes when we have to leave the holy dham, there is this feeling of separation. And it's a genuine feeling. But we come inoculated, we return to wherever we started from. We come back to Melbourne, having that inoculation. We feel inspired, we feel strong that we've got a stronger connection with the Lord, and we feel his vibrations and his reciprocation even more. The first time we re-enter the temple after we come back from Holy Dham, we come to the Lord, the altar here, we feel a certain stronger connection. But then, what happens? We're back to our normal routine. Got to go back to work. Okay? Got to associate again with the modes of passion, with the modes of ignorance. Your high that you were on your mode of goodness rapidly comes down. Right? And before you know it, you were back where you were in the modes of passion, surrounded by demoniac influence. You got to go to work, you got to listen to what your boss has to say, you got to just put up with that unpleasant situation. Mode of passion and mode of ignorance takes over again. So, are we back to square one? No. We know that anything spiritual, any devotional service that we do, it is always sitting in our spiritual credit, in our spiritual bank account. Never diminishes. But the challenge for us when we come back to Melbourne is how to sustain that high that we experience in the Holy Dham. That's why association is important, as Prabhupada mentions. And the consciousness that we carry, we got to sustain it. How? Yes, we come back and do our sadhana and all that, but invariably we are sucked into these modes of passion and ignorance. One way is to set ourselves a personal spiritual goal. Just like we set material goals, we want to achieve this, we want to buy a house by that time, we want to buy a car by that time. Yeah, I want to move my family to that situation from here to there. I want my son to go to that uni or whatever. We set personal material goals for the family and all that. We need to set personal spiritual goals. What do we want to achieve with this life? See, we are in a very unique, privileged position. And that is, as I said earlier, we have gone through all the Sukriti, and we have come to a platform now, in spite of all the demonic environment that we are now experiencing, we are still, by the mercy of Prabhupada, connected to the Hare Krishna movement. We are in a human body. We are chanting. And Prabhupada says, in Canto 3, Chapter 33, I think verse 7 or 8, to have a human body in this lifetime, to be able to chant in this lifetime, it means in all our previous lives, we have undergone all penances and austerities. We have bathed in all the holy rivers, and we have studied all the scriptures in our previous lives. We have achieved all that to bring us to this point to be in a position to be able to chant. That's how privileged our position is. But then here's the interesting question. We talked about pilgrimage to the holy dhams. We talked about Mayapur, Vrindavan, Puri. We forget we are in a holy dham. What did Prabhupada say about Melbourne temple? This is not Melbourne, this is Vrindavan.
Prabhupada said, as soon as we offer ourselves to be enjoyed by Krishna and serve according to His desire, we are situated in the spiritual world. This is not Melbourne, this is Vrindavan, Prabhupada says.
So, how many of us here actually meditate each time that we come to the temple that we are actually going on a pilgrimage?
It's a holy place.
We don't. How many of us here actually come to this holy place of pilgrimage called Melbourne Temple and display sincere humility? But we do it in the Holy Dham. Where did that come from? And why is it disappearing here? How many of us actually display that genuine, sincere enthusiasm to want to do devotional service here? We eagerly go looking for devotional service over there. We happily donate over there in the Holy Dhams. But why not here in Melbourne? How is it that rostered service for devotees? Devotees don't turn up to do their service. It's a holy dham. How come? Sometimes pujaris come for their Mangala Arati, 4:30 in the morning. The three trays for Arati, it's a rostered service for someone to do it. It's not there. Pujaris would know this. Happened countless number of times in Melbourne. And the pujaris scurry around like little rats. Very quickly they get it done. And then here when the curtains open, Arati is going on nicely. But there was already this morning drama. Nobody knows, only the pujaris know. That's one. Then it comes for morning breakfast offering, or any offering. Go to the kitchen. Nobody is preparing the offering. Someone's rostered service. And it's a holy dham. It's Radharani's kitchen. Direct service to the Lord. Would we do that if we were actually in Vrindavan or Mayapur? So why the different consciousness? Just because we're in Melbourne, we can behave like this, and in the holy dhams, we behave more sincerely. You know why? We take our position here in Melbourne for granted. We don't actually meditate that this is the holy dham. This is a place of pilgrimage. This is a place that we come to associate with saintly people. This is a place where we come not to earn respect, but to give respect. This is a place where we should feel privileged to be given any devotional service. And this is a place where we should enthusiastically present ourselves to do that devotional service. Something to ponder on, isn't it? Something to think about. We've got to change the way that we see our presence here in Melbourne. It is simply a place of pilgrimage. It is a holy dham. It's a Tirtha. Prabhupada was here. Just like Vidura, Prabhupada is also a place of pilgrimage himself. Wherever the saintly personalities go, they transform the places they go to into places of pilgrimage. So Vidura went through this many, many years of pilgrimage, association with saintly personalities, Uddhava, Maitreya. And then, what does he do at the end of his pilgrimage? He comes back to the very same place, the palace where he was sent away from, no, not the very same palace maybe, but he came back to Hastinapur. He was well received by the Pandavas, the war is over, okay. Duryodhan all gone, vanquished. Okay. He comes back and he is received with much pomp. He is now given all the accord of receiving a saintly person. But he comes back for one main reason, to deliver his elder brother. Who's that? Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, even though all his sons are dead, he's still there. He's now being looked after by the Pandavas. So Vidura, being a sadhu, and what is the sadhu's duty? To be heavy. Sadhu is to be heavy in his words, to actually cut the material bondage that we conditioned entities have. So he gets heavy, he gets on Dhritarashtra's case. What does he say? Look at you, you're still attached to your position to want to be king. You are in the fag end of your life. You're already born blind. Now you're hard of hearing. Your liver is defective. You're losing your memory. You're coughing out mucus. You are getting food. You're getting charity from the Pandavas, from Bhima, the very same people who you tried to kill. Your body is just decaying. Krishna's energy, insurmountable time, Kala Shakti, is going to all consumers. Eventually, we are all going to die. Therefore, why are you still stuck to your position, to your attachment? It is your attachment to your son which has brought you all this. Get out. Kali Yuga is coming. Good qualities in men is going to diminish even more. Get out. Finally, it hits home to Dhritarashtra. What does he do? Finally, he leaves the palace. So, Vidura, Dhritarashtra, and Dhritarashtra's wife, Gandhari, they leave. And they go to the southern foothills of the Himalayas, a place called Saptashrotra, where the Ganges actually branches into seven. There, Dhritarashtra engages in Ashtanga Yoga, very austere. At that age, drinking only water, performing Agnihotra sacrifices, develops mystic power, and after some time, he actually self-immolates. He actually, with this mystic power, he just burns. And Gandhari, being a chaste wife, she enters that fire, and the two of them are liberated. Vidura leaves with mixed feelings. On one hand, he is happy that his brother is liberated, at least to the platform of Brahman realization, and he grieves because he couldn't bring his brother to the platform of devotional service. How privileged we are to already be in a position that we can do devotional service. So, when we reflect on all this, we got to think about what we want to do with the rest of our life. We don't know how long more we got. At least Parikshit Maharaj knew he had only 7 days. 7 days to live, and therefore he gave up all his worldly kingdom, and therefore he sat down in total surrender listening to the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami. He knew he had that 7 days. We don't know. We simply don't know how long more we got. Krishna's Kala Shakti, insurmountable time, is slowly eating away at us day by day. We are ignorant of this fact. We can't live as long as Lord Brahma. How long is Lord Brahma's pastime? 311 trillion years, 40 billion years. Go figure how to write that down. Long, long time. But he too eventually has to leave his body. So, we got to then take advantage of this human body, take advantage of the privileged position that we are in, get serious in our devotional service, and get serious into actually doing our service. If you're rostered for service, come. Be on time. I often heard, or I often still do hear, okay, Saturday class, Sunday class, here in Melbourne. How many speakers actually come on time to sit on the Vyasasan? Most of us here who I don't know, I've been told that the speakers are often late. This is the Vyasasan, the seat of Lord Vyasa. A privileged position. Imagine if someone told you in Vrindavan or Mayapur, give class. Would you dare to be late? No. But how is it that we can take it so casually here in Melbourne and be late to sit on this exalted position? We have got no qualification at all to sit on the Vyasasan. It is simply by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, that we are sitting on the Vyasasan, that we have the opportunity to sit on the Vyasasan. It needs to be given that due respect. It is a platform where we glorify the Lord, and it's a platform where we bring ourselves closer to Krishna. We can't even come on time to sit on the Vyasasan. How are you even going to deliver ourselves? Who coordinates these Saturday, Sunday programs? Anyone knows who coordinates this here in Melbourne? I don't know who coordinates. Who actually identifies the speakers? Hmm? 4:30 Arati starts Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. 4:50 Arati. Arati is 20 minutes. Kirtan needs to stop 4:50. That when the Arati is over, when the pujaris blow their conch, Kirtan needs to stop. 10 minutes, 4:50 to 5 o'clock, 10 minutes is for Narasingha Arati. Announcements, if there are any. The speaker should be on the Vyasasan to start the class. Hare Krishna, I've spoken enough. Questions, comments? It is Krishna's energy. Maya is Krishna's energy. Okay. Mahamaya is Krishna's external energy, which is keeping us all entrapped in this material world. Okay. And her duty is actually to make it difficult for us. Okay. But our duty is actually to transcend this, to get connected to Krishna's internal energy, which is Yoga Maya, because Krishna's internal energy, Yoga Maya, takes us closer to Krishna.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can we pinpoint what, sorry, please?
Complacency.
Complacency. The root cause is just not understanding the philosophy and not applying the philosophy. You see, we have been attending so many Bhagavatam classes, so many Bhagavad Gita classes. Okay, we have been reading so much, we have been hearing so much. Knowledge is only good if it is applied to our personal circumstances. Otherwise, it is useless. So for all the many hours that we spend listening to this, acquiring this knowledge, we need to apply it. Otherwise, it's all shrama evahi kevalam. Complete waste of time. Don't cheat yourself. Don't try to cheat Prabhupada. So just like how Vidura told Dhritarashtra, get out. Get out from your attachment. Get out from this mode of complacency, this mode of passion and ignorance. We need to actually move out. And we can, because we know, as I've said earlier, when we go to the holy dhams, we consciously try to change. So similarly here, we need to apply that deliberate conscious attempt to change, to be on the mode of goodness all the time. It is chosen complacency. We have a choice. Just like how we misused our minute independence to leave the spiritual world, we are continuing to misuse that minute independence here even after coming in contact with Krishna consciousness. How foolish is that? We are more ignorant than the people out there who are not even in contact with Krishna consciousness. At least they got a valid reason to say they haven't come in contact, fine. But we, after coming in contact, we display this kind of behavior and thinking. You got to find a new word in the dictionary to actually define ourselves. Hope that answers some part of your, I don't know, just rattled off something, Prabhu. Yes, I think it's just ignorant, not applying the knowledge of the philosophy properly, my opinion. Because the scriptures say we have to be enthusiastic. We have to be enthusiastic. And we do display enthusiasm when in the holy dham, places like Vrindavan, Mayapur, but not here. So it's by choice. Hare Krishna, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.